Dark Flight by Lynn Anderson, read by Sally Armstrong. Sani dived left into thick undergrowth. The big 4x4 vehicle made a 180-degree turn, splattering red mud in a semicircle, and followed. Thorns tore at Sani's face and chest. He tasted blood. If he could only make the river. The rainy season had swollen it, and the fast-moving water would carry him away from his pursuers. He smelt burning diesel as the vehicle stalled, its wheels churning the soggy clay. Sani broke through the bushes that lined the riverbank. Rua, water. Rua, Dagodia, thank God. His small, slight body stood indecisive on the high bank as big black river ants ran up his thin legs, biting him savagely. Sensing someone behind, he sprang forward, but it was too late. His arm was gripped in a fist of steel. Sani screamed, but there was no one to hear. Day 1. Monday. Chapter 1.
You can go outside, but stay in the garden. Do you hear me, Stephen?
His mum's voice was shrill, like a witch's. Gran's bedroom smelt of pee. His mum was stripping the bed, while his gran sat in a winged armchair, her hair a fluffy white halo. She winked at Stephen as he left the room. His gran was sick, but she wasn't cross. The garden was tiny and surrounded by a high hedge. Once, when he came on holiday, he'd helped his grandad cut the hedge, but now it was so tall it blocked the light. Stephen stood on the closed gate, humming to himself, until he saw the bones. They lay in the shape of a cross, on the pavement just outside the garden. Excitement beat the pulse at his temple. Already, his active imagination was writing the bones into a story of pirates and treasure. He looked up and down the empty street. Whoever had dropped them was gone. Probably they would never come back. Conscience assuaged, Stephen dropped to his knees, slipped his small hand through the black bars, and stretched his arm as far as he could. He grunted as the metal dug painfully into his armpit, his face squashed sideways to the gate. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see his fingers wriggling disappointingly short of the bones. He withdrew his arm and rubbed it, muttering under his breath in a decisive manner,
"I'll have to go outside. I'll just have to."
He sneaked a look at the kitchen window. What if his mum was at the sink? His heart leapt. The window was blank. A mix of excitement and fear coursed through his veins, and he swallowed hard. He conjured up an image of his mum's angry face if he disobeyed her, and he wiped his mouth anxiously. She would go bananas, raving on at him about not doing what he was told. It was a scary thought. But if he was quick, he saw himself zip out and in again, almost instantaneously, like Billy Whiz in the Beano comic. The bones were tantalizingly close. And it wasn't really going outside, he told himself firmly. Not if he was very, very quick. Stephen slipped through, snatched up the bones and stepped swiftly back inside, pulling the gate quietly shut behind him. He stood stock still, his heart thudding in his chest. At last, he let his breath out in an exaggerated gasp. He had done it. He smiled down at his prize. The bones were about the size of his first finger, tied together with red thread. He held the cross to his nose and sniffed. They smelt like the garden when his grandad used to dig up the weeds. He placed the bones in his left palm and ran his finger over them, studying the three lines scored at the top of each one, which could be a magic mark. A muffled voice made him look up guiltily. Had his mum seen him go out of the garden? He whistled through his teeth and shuffled his feet, waiting for the shout that meant trouble. But no shout came. When he felt brave enough to look directly, the face that stared at him through the glass was his mum's, but it didn't look like her. Stephen's mouth dropped open and real fear grabbed his stomach. His mum's face was chalk white, her mouth twisted in pain,